Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon, as we cover various subjects on the program today, especially going into the weekend. And now that we're in fire season, I thought we'd check on some of the fire situations around our region that you've been hearing about. So two segments today. First off, Doug Epperson joins us. He's a public information officer with Northwest Incident Management Team 6, working with the Wendigo and the Potter fires. Doug, thanks for being on with us.
Very welcome.
So tell folks, just to kind of get a sense of things, how large an area are you covering with Wendigo and the Potter and with the other incidents?
Well, I can get into how big each individual fire is, but as of this morning, they extended our temporary flight restriction so that our helicopters and our airplanes don't have to worry about interference from other aviation devices in the air, and to be able to make swings around our fires and that type of thing. It's actually bigger than the fire area that you would assume. Plus also, since our fires are way apart, that also causes a problem. But as of this morning, we're responsible for 151,963 acres of land, which works out to 237 square miles. And when the forest gives you your delegation to fight the fire on their land, they then make you responsible for any new initial attacks inside your temporary flight restriction. So as of today, we're responsible for a lot of acres if new fires pop up.
And that's really an area bigger than, frankly, a lot of states.
Yeah, it's pretty good size. And with the heat that we've had, more heat coming up this weekend, possibility of new thunderstorms, we're going to have to be on high alert to not only keep working on the specific fires that we were hired for, but any new lightning strikes that come up, and watching for holdovers that there was a strike nobody knew was there, and when the winds came up, they started burning. Like I said, we were hired for two fires, and when we got here, there was actually 17 of them that we had to take care of. Most of them are pretty much contained, and we don't have to worry about them anymore. There's four main fires at this point that we're talking about.
So how many staff do we have around this whole area?
Well, at this point, as of last night, we were at 355 personnel. We have four hotshot crews included in that, and we have four Type 1 helicopters, which are the big helicopters, and there's two more of those coming in, one later today and one tomorrow, and we have one Type 3 helicopter. Part of the problem we're having with, like, especially Potter and part of Wendigo, is that the terrain is so steep, it's tough to get boots on the ground in there, and they're not really accessible by a whole lot of roads. And so it's like the first three or four days we've been working, it's pretty much been getting heavy equipment in there, trying to get dozer lines and old roads open back up so we can even assess and reach these fires.
And because of all this work going on, I know we got a release a couple hours ago about kind of a closure area so that you're not dealing with other folks just out hiking and things like that.
Correct. There is Umpqua, Willamette, Deschutes, and Tremont, Wainema did a joint closure area because there's so many fires going on, and, you know, they bump up the other national forests and that type of thing. So they put out a fire, emergency fire closure this morning. It's actually effective through October 15th, unless they rescind it sooner. It's too lengthy to read due to the fact of it's this road to that road to this road to that road, that type of thing. But the two things I could point out is the Pacific Crest Trail is closed from Highway 138 on the Umpqua National Forest to Highway 58 on the Deschutes National Forest. And then Trail 1446, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Maydu Lake Trail on the Fremont-Wanima is closed from Miller Lake to the Pacific Crest Trail. And if anybody has any questions about anything specific in the closure, I can give you a phone number to call. And that number is actually in Roseburg. It's the Roseburg District Ranger Office, and it's 541-957-3200.
And we've got that closure order, and you can look at the map as well. We've got that linked in with the story, so people can just click on it and take a look at 541radio.com, because, yeah, it is very complex to follow. Talk about the expected weather over the next few days and what might be coming up.
Well, today and part of tomorrow, we've actually had about three good days of fire weather, and today is the last one. Tomorrow and over the weekend, it's just going to keep the RHs, our relative humidity is going to drop. Temperatures are going to go up. Increased chance of thunderstorms again. And so that's where we're going to have to worry about the new lightning strikes. And with those increased winds, like today is only 5 to 9 miles an hour with gusts up to 15, but that'll let fires spot a quarter to a half mile. So as those winds increase and the fuel gets that much more receptive, and a lot of our, like I said, we're working on four fires. I can rattle those off and the statistics about them in a minute. But a lot of it is down and dead timber. And so there's a lot of available fuel for the potential for spotting.
Yeah, and yeah, go ahead and roll through real quick the data on those four fires.
Okay. Again, there was two of them we were initially hired for. The first one was Windigo. That started on July 30th, and as of an infrared flight last night, it's 1,072 acres, and we're saying that it's 5% contained at this point. And there's 249 personnel working under the Windigo area. The Potter Fire started on July 31st, as of the infrared flight last night. It's 149 acres, and it's 0% contained, and there's 106 personnel assigned to that. The other two that cropped up while we were here, one's beneficially named the Shelter Fire. It's at 5 acres, and it's 75% contained, and then there's another one called Big Swamp, and that's somewhere in the 5 to 7 acre range, and it's 30% contained. And so our main incident command post is here by Diamond Lake Resort, but we have what we call a spike camp at Tokatee Airstrip, and we have about 100 and 150 people working out of there. So kind of split half and half between the two camps, and we do that to cut down on the number one thing that's the safety issue with firefighters is actually driving and accidents and that type of thing. So when we can come up with camps that are closer to where some of the fires actually are, then we're taking away some of that risk. So that's why the camps split in two different locations.
All right, out of time for this segment. Doug Epperson from Northwest Incident Management Team 6. Doug, thanks for being on with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
1245 Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Umpqua Valley Live looking at arts, entertainment, community events at 4 o'clock. By the way, on Monday's Inside Douglas County program, Spread the Word, Jay Leno is going to be our guest. He'll be at Seven Feathers in the coming days. So Jay Leno on Monday's Inside Douglas County. Going to the second fire situation that we're scoping out this afternoon. That's the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. A number of things going on there. Marguerite Hickman and Dan Quinones with us from down in Medford. Folks, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
So, first of all, let's kind of give folks an idea of just how much ground you're covering there with your forest area. I mean, just like the other one we were talking about, I'm sure it's kind of a pretty big, large land area.
Yeah, we have 1.8 million acres under Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest land. So, in terms of fire suppression and land management, we have five ranger districts ranging from the Oregon coast over to the Pacific Crest Trail. We do have some lands that dip down into California and up to the Umpqua National Forest to our north. We are checkerboarded with the BLM and the Oregon Department of Forestry on the interior, and great relationships allow us to bump and cover each other. It's a big chunk in Southwest Oregon, and we're doing it together.
And a lot has happened, of course, in recent days. Now, things have been improving for a few days, but talk about kind of overall how things are looking right now.
Well, I want to go back a few days in recent history. Since July 27th, the lightning storms kicked off in Southwest Oregon as a whole. The Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest received numerous strikes. It did come with some rain, which was very fortunate for us within the storm cell cores. So we've been looking for holdover fires, have responded to and detected 12 fires, which are either in containment status or have been declared out. No concerns for us on our forest lands as of right now. The lightning threat, the holdover threat, and the increased temperatures are still in the forecast as of today. We're just remaining vigilant, getting ready to pounce on any fires that do show themselves. Twice a day aerial detection, numerous ground resources are out patrolling throughout the day, and we're ready to respond.
And talk about going into the weekend, because it looks like things are heating back up starting tomorrow.
Yeah, they are. Relative humidities are looking to drop down a bit. Temperatures are going to be hovering around those triple digits off and on for the next several days. And we know that it's August. That's typical weather for us. Nothing new there. The things that we're really keeping an eye on are, again, increased lightning chances and the potential for wind increases. Specifically, east winds really raise up our attention. Those are the drier winds that drop the relative humidities or the moisture in the air and can create challenges to firefighters. Not seeing that impact as of yet, but they do come in August and September, as we're well aware of. The CHETCO effect is a known item that happens to us, so we are staffed up and will continue to be staffed up through the weekend and beyond based off the fire threat.
How many people are working on the various incidents around your area?
Well, for our forest, we have roughly 36 engines, 10 crews, 3 water tenders. We brought in 3 additional dozers. We've increased our aircraft staffing at our Medford Air Tanker Base, which is supporting not only our area, all of Southwest Oregon, Washington, and California. And we do have additional repel crews on station and surrounding us for those remote fires in the backcountry to get on those quickly. We've basically increased our staffing 5 or 6 fold since the initial onset of the event. And we're looking to taper down a little bit so that we can share resources with our adjacent forests. The Umpqua has the Wendigo fire going. The Willamette has fires up there, the Cedar. And then we've been supporting the Klamath National Forest on the Alex and on the Smoky Fire most recently, as well as our ODF partners here internally on some of their fires as well. So it's been a great sharing effort, and We're fortunate to have the staffing in terms of overhead and footprint to onboard resources, not only for our use, but for subgeographic use as well.
After we had the recent lightning, a lot of times fires start out really slowly. They're undetected for a while. Have you had folks just kind of out on the ground looking for fires?
Yep, our engines and hand crews are dispersed across the five districts that I mentioned. They're doing constant patrols throughout their shift, which is pretty much from sunup to sundown. We also have aerial reconnaissance in terms of fixed wing that we fly at least twice a day. And if a new detection pops, then we go into a suppression mode as well. We've also got support from our regional office in terms of infrared detection. And we've requested mapping missions over our coverage area. We get smoke impacts in the valley every year, and we may not be able to see them, but we can see through the smoke and cloud layers with that infrared. So we're using all the tools we have available to us to ensure that we have quick detection and an efficient response to any new starts.
And I remember from my time in the Rogue Valley back in the day that the way the valley is shaped, once you get fog or smoke in there, oftentimes it's really hard to get it out.
It sure is. It's going to take a pretty good scouring event in terms of winds to get that out, which is a blessing and a challenge. We're going to get visibility, but if we do have those holdover fires that are laying low with that moisture, they could potentially show themselves quickly. So, again, using everything we have in our toolbox to make sure that we can detect them regardless of the conditions has been paramount to our success.
What are some of the little things maybe listeners ought to know about what goes into this level of a fire effort?
It's very simple in terms of questions that we get asked, and the answers are extremely complex. There's a lot of moving pieces, bringing resources in from across the country, getting them briefed in our fuel type, our communication structure, et cetera. That's a lot of the backstory planning that folks don't see. Our staging area at our J. Herbert Stone Nursery has been humming along with activity as well, making sure those assets are staged and taken care of. Dispersing those resources to all of our districts. They have morning briefings every day. They get reassignments. They're constantly moving and shuffling. It's a lot of coordination, and that's just within our forest. And I also want to share, working with the ODF, the BLM, all of our partner agencies, we're coordinating on top of that. So we're usually charging our cell phone batteries a couple times a day to make sure that we stay in contact with folks that need to be in the know.
Yeah, and technology is really important. In fact, I wonder sometimes when we get into these situations how agencies even did the work that you are doing now back when some of the technology wasn't around.
Yep, the technology has been a great help to us, but also I've been doing this for 28 years now, and I remember before technology was available. I'd say one of the key aspects that may get overlooked in some areas is the relationships. Having those conversations face-to-face with our partners and those we work alongside of, technology really can't replace that, and having those that ability to talk to someone is key in our success as well.
But for a firefighter, someone who's got boots on the ground in an area, as long as they have decent cell service, being able to take a picture of what they're seeing and send it back to somebody where a plane flight over isn't available right then or whatever. I mean, you can really share information really quickly.
We can. It also helps fire managers such as myself, who may be in an office setting in the dispatch world, coordinating fires on a large scale, really seeing, the picture's worth a thousand words concept of what is truly going on out there. That allows us a greater vision to be able to allocate additional resources should they be needed or slide them to a higher priority area. So it's been a great help.
And for people that are out and about this weekend, how can they help out with essentially staying out of your way?
Well, we love for folks to continue to recreate in the lands in Southwest Oregon and beyond. We have a real hesitancy for shutting down areas unless it's a critical need due to firefighter and public safety, which we do not have in Southwest Oregon as of right now. But just be mindful of the restrictions that all agencies have in the areas that those folks might be recreating. They do change across borders. So know before you go, take a look at the information that's on the websites, our Facebook pages, and be prepared.
All right, Dan Quinones from the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
1257 Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.